Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord that you're able to join me today for the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at the same time. And as I was seeking the Lord as to what He would have me share, He directed me to scriptures and to a subject that I've not heard a lot. In fact, I haven't heard any preaching on that, not that it hasn't, but if I could entitle what I'm going to be sharing, it would be this: to seek divine pleasure. And you might say, Sister Glass, what are you talking about? Well, I really feel that this has been the missing ingredient of Christianity down through the ages, and it's a result of man's misconception of God. Let's think about this for just a moment. And we have to go back to the beginning when God created a perfect man and woman and put them in the Garden of Eden. It was a beautiful place where every single need or desire was met, and it was also a place where they had fellowship and communion with God on a daily basis. And they weren't just sitting around unoccupied. They had work to do, but it was pleasurable work of tending the garden, of making it beautiful. And those of you who have been into gardening or working with plants and flowers and trees, you can admit what a joyous and a pleasurable activity or hobby that is. But in that perfect state, as we think in advance and think toward the future of what heaven is going to be like, it's not only a place of peace and rest, but absolute perfect joy and fulfillment. And I believe that as Christians, we ought to be the most joyous people on the face of the earth. Now, you might say, Sister Glass, well, look at the world we're living in. Yes, and I'm sure you, like I, can relate to righteous Lot, who was vexed by the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, where he was living. And we see much today to grieve our hearts, to see where this nation is going, to see the ungodliness that prevails and the lack of understanding. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Isn't that true? And we've got a lot of fools out there. They don't believe in God. However, we know a day is coming that they will have that realization. I pray, we need to pray, that they will stand before the Lord as He would be their Savior rather than their judge. But in this time in which we're living, I believe Jesus said the kingdom of God is within us. And as such, the kingdom, what is the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus defined that. He said it's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. Praise God for that. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I believe no matter what is going on, I don't care how out of control the world gets, how dark the hour is, because Isaiah clearly says there will be darkness upon the face of the earth and gross darkness the people, perversity, just as in the days of Noah, wickedness abounding, evil men perpetrating their strategies, exploiting the weak and the poor, the orphans, the widows. Beloved, we're living in perilous times. Paul was very clear to warn Timothy of that. And yet, because of the reality of the things that we know by faith, in other words, that unseen realm and that unseen king to whom we are committed, that is the driving force, the motivating factor of all that we do. And as such, we know how the book ends. As my husband used to say, we read the end of the book. We know that the meek shall inherit the earth, and there will be absolute peace, and Satan will be ultimately confined in the lake of fire, and all those who choose to serve him. And so we know we've got a wonderful future, but I believe that we need to have an understanding of how we're made, who God is, and as we will do that, as we come into a greater revelation and understanding, I believe our lives will really be filled with joy. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life, you know, years ago, we used to sing, "The joy of the Lord is my strength," I'm telling you, and it would be, "Lord, I feel like I'm a hypocrite because I don't feel very joyous right now." I'm thinking back to the 70s, and we've all had that experience, and yet we declare what God's word said, because as we allow our soul to be conformed and to the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us, then we grow up to be mature Christians. In other words, we're not ruled by our soul, we're not ruled by our emotions, but we're ruled by the spiritual realities which are expressed and outlined in the word of God. And I believe this godly pleasure demonstrating by a joy-filled Christian is perhaps one, if not the most powerful tools of evangelism in this great end-time harvest and revival that God wants to establish and promote and pour out His Spirit before the very end comes. In Psalm 45, verse 7, and this is talking about Jesus, "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." It was before the joy that was set before him, the scriptures tell us, that Jesus endured the pain, the suffering, the humiliation, the ridicule of the cross. And he did that because he knew what was ahead. And so, beloved, I don't care how you might feel like you're in the mully grubs. That's what another phrase of Brother Glass used to say, you're lower than a grasshopper's belly. He was from Oklahoma. And if you can identify with that state, still, I want to say to you today, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord shall strengthen thine heart. And I believe as we get understanding of what I want to share, that it's going to release us into a liberty and a freedom that we can truly walk in the joy of the Lord, that we can walk in that kingdom reality, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I believe that the instinct, if you will, the motive, this drive that God has placed within natural creation. For example, he's done that with man, and he's even done it with animals. We can see that. There is an instinctive a force placed within us that we want to avoid pain. And that's related, especially in the case of animals or even humans, our survival instinct, that we would avoid things that would bring death or harm or injury to us. And on the other hand, it is very natural for us to seek pleasure. And I believe that's one of the strongest motivating forces in our nature, to seek pleasure and avoid pain. Those of you who have animals, I mean, if you have a dog or cat, they love to curl up next to the fire if you have a fireplace, or they like that soft dog bed or cat bed. They like to be close to you. I mean, when a cat purrs, it's happy. And so it's something that God has fashioned us with. And so how can we define pleasure? Well, Webster defines it as a noun, for example, as a state of gratification. It's a source of delight or joy. A state of gratification, a source of delight or joy. All right, now let me ask you a question. If you're a Christian, do you want to please the Lord? Well, I'm certain I can hear a multitude of responses with, yes, of course, I love the Lord. I want to serve Him. And I believe God brings people to this ministry, especially those who are Christians, and they want to be 100-fold Christians, that we've always been focused on maturing the saints of God, preaching the gospel to the lost, but also to see the body of Christ mature until we all come into the unity of the faith, unto the measure of the stature of a perfect man, even to Christ Jesus. And so I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to find out what the Word has to say about this whole subject of pleasure? And the most important focus is, of course, what pleases God? Does God have pleasures? Well, He does. And I want to share that in the Word of God. And let's just start right now. In fact, let me just pray. I know we're getting close to the end of the broadcast, but I wanted to lay a good foundation. And so I invite you, by all means, to tune in tomorrow as we carry on this theme and explore what the Word has to say. But Father, Lord, I do thank You for Your goodness. I thank You, Lord, that it is Your heart's desire that we can share Your heart. And Your heart, Lord, You rejoice in Your people. There are things that Your Word clearly says that bring pleasure to Your heart. And Lord, that's our desire, not only to see in the Word what brings joy to Your heart and pleasure to Your heart, but also, Lord, that we actively, purposely, and intentionally will seek to bring that to a reality and cause it to pass in our lives, that we would walk pleasing before You, that one day, Lord, when that time comes, we can stand before You and You will say out of a heart of joy and pleasure, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter you into your Father's rest." Praise God. Well, the first, and I probably only have time for the first scripture I'd like to share with you around What pleases God? What are His pleasures? I mean, what does God enjoy? Think about that. If I asked you, you could say, "Oh, I enjoy going for walks," or "I enjoy just relaxing and watching a good program on television or movie." Maybe I should say movie because there's very, very little good programs. But one of the ways God finds pleasure is in His creation. And the scripture I'd like to share with you, you might already be thinking of it, is found in Revelation 4:11. "Thou art," this is what is voiced around the throne, "Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Praise God. "For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." So His creation, God created all things, the Word says, for His pleasure. And that's the purpose that they were created. Praise God. Well, we're just getting started, and I do invite you to tune in tomorrow at this same time. If you have prayer needs, know that this is a ministry of prayer, and as well as correspondence, to encourage you with the Word of the Lord, or prophetically, or however God moves in my heart to share with you as I pray for you. Thank you so much for listening. Again, the announcer will give you our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.